thing else, that's another thing altogether. And so this is why, like, a lot of my attacks come on me because they say, how can you say that that person is not a Christian? Not because of what goes on in their lives, because I know what goes on in my mind. Like you just said, you look at somebody and lust after them, the sin is done already. So I know that if that's a disqualifier,
I'm out.
Everybody's out.
I'm out.
Everybody is out.
Everybody's
man.
Out.
Everybody then struck out at the plate.
Yes.
Now, and that is just as evil. Just as evil. Now,
yes.
What we have to do is we have to help the elect to qualify what a false prophet is, and that's what we're going to do. That's why I raise those issues, because some of these people that these people are following, if they're greedy in the flesh, that is because that is what they were. They were never God's true prophet, because there are motives behind what makes a person do this. I hate to bring in secular philosophy into this, but in the ethics class we were talking about, in moral responsibility, where does it start? And it starts when one investigates the motives. Mm-hmm. And you see, most Christians never investigate motives as to why something is taking place. Why would this man deny the Trinity? Why would T.D. Jakes come up with this, I'm going to give this kind of grace relief. What does he call it? I forget. I just took it off my website. I was tired of looking at it, but offering some kind of efficacious grace on behalf of his son. He can't do that. Only Christ can do that. Only God can do that. But a false prophet would say it in a minute, and the whole blooming 30,000 member Potter's House,
right,
believed that man.
Uh-huh.
Just right across the board. And the man is a false prophet. And the issue was not what his son did. The issue that is affecting me, Mark and Bob, is why are they still listening to this guy when he made a theological statement that is theologically improbable and impossible for any human being to do? It is because most people in the church today are dumb, stupid, don't know the scriptures. I want you people that are at home, I'm going to leave the focus thing up for at least 10 more days. Play the focus clip of the guy named Philip that calls me back in 1995, because he discussed that in that clip in 1995. How do you know what a false prophet is? Philip tells you what it is. Philip says that the whole church is ignorant. They don't know how to discern who's telling the truth and who's not telling the truth. With that being said, and you guys can pick up any scriptures that you'd like to on your own, I just like to start reading down through David R. Regan's thing, his website again, for those of you that are listening. And you can just let the sound clip play and go to Lamb and Lion Ministries. That would look like on your website, lamblionsources.com. lamblionsources.com. This is what Dr. David Regan says. He says, false prophets are all over the landscape today. See, that's why I like this article. He points out and say they're all over, okay? And they are a sign of the times pointing to the return of Jesus, because Jesus said that, didn't he? And he has the scripture right here. Jesus himself warned of false prophets in the end times. His most detailed discourse in the end times is recorded in Matthew 24, and the scriptures are verses 4 and 5. So we're going to have our Bibles ready, and we're going to read those scriptures for you, because Jesus mentions false prophets, and it is the only sign that he repeats in Matthew chapter 24, verses 11 and 24. So I got Bob and Mark with me. When you guys are ready to read, start reading. And those of you at home, you can follow along. Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5. I just turned to it. Here it is. Okay, I got it. It says right here. And Jesus said unto them, see to it that no one mislead you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. Look on down to verses 11 and verses 24. Verse 11, he says, and many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And look at verse 24. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. See, so here, Reagan believes that we're living close to the end time, because when you go to practically every church, they're all false prophets. Guys, am I exaggerating this?
Based on the conversations that I've had with people, they are, their limit of scripture is zero, because there's no idea of how to live, what to think about, what to keep in your mind, what to keep in your heart. There's no connection. There's no theme in their life about what scripture is all about.
Right.
No theme. Right. There has to be a constant theme that I can think of the same thing, Bob will think of the same thing, and you being the teacher, you would think of the same thing. Because there's a theme of where the scripture comes into that we can all track along and say, you know, this, that, and the other. We can all understand, because there's a theme of scripture written in our hearts. Man. There are people walking around that are empty and are only going on their own effort, so they will fall and crash and burn because they're only going on their own effort and not through God.
Mark, Bob, I got to share this with you. I'm walking on the campus. It was a week of registration on the campus. One of the students that registered in the class with me, I was in the administrative building. They were going to the same way. They said, Mr. Coleman, can I ask you a question? I said, yes. In terms of the end times, because you're a Christian, right? I said, yes. In terms of the end time, what do you think about Obama? I said, he's not the Antichrist. Why not? I told him why. And then he said, all right, good, good. I feel the same way. I said, Phil or no? I know. I said, where do you get the proof from? He says, I've been reading in the book of Revelation. We went over about 5 or 6 or 7 other questions. Both of us believed the same thing. Bob, we never argued. Mm-hmm. We believed and knew the same thing. Mm-hmm. I said, how does God talk to you? He says, when I get deep in prayer and reveal my heart to him, he floods me with knowledge and what the word means. He said, it's plain, it's simple as day. Doesn't take a Bible scholar to know the Bible. And then he said, I met one. What do you mean? He says, I met another one. He says, why are we few and far and in between? He says he goes to churches, asks people the same questions that he asked me. They all tell him he's crazy.
Yes. Absolutely.
This organized religion has destroyed what was the church?
Yes.
Wow, Reagan was right. The Apostle Paul echoed the Lord's warning when he spoke to the elders of the church at Ephesus. Here's how he put it, as recorded in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31. Now, he has the scripture printed on his website there. It says, be on guard for yourselves. Paul was warning them. Be on guard for yourselves. We are not on guard for anything. Somebody gets a man, and wait a minute, a woman walks in there and gets behind the pulpit and says, God called me to preach. I'm your pastor. And everybody started applauding her. Paul just said, be on guard for yourselves and for all of the flock. Now he's talking to pastors. For I know that after my departure, Paul was saying, when I leave, savage wolves. Now don't call Pastor John a bad guy. Savage wolves will come in among you. Now, if you're a Christian, you got to say, what is a savage wolf? And all right, Bob, how would you know what a savage wolf was as compared to a white German shepherd or a collie? What would a savage wolf do if he came around your encampment as compared to a collie or a German shepherd?
Well, obviously, he would be vicious.
Good. Now, define the viciousness of a false. See, if a man is struggling with alcoholism, but he loves God, loves the word of God, and he knows that he can't have another drink, but before he became a Christian, his wife left him. He found his wife with another man. Wait a minute. Did you see the movie called The Apostle? You didn't see that movie.
I don't watch movies.
Okay. Well, that one you should have watched, Bob.
For the most part, very few.
Because what it was an apostolic pastor in a church.
Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall. He was pastoring in church, Bob, and the church is growing, and praise the Lord, and praise the Lord. And his wife started going with the youth minister in the church. Hmm. And the youth minister was having the church kids play a baseball game out on the baseball diamond in the country. And the preacher, a good man, no criminal record, nothing. And he saw the youth pastor kiss his wife, and he went berserk, grabbed a bat right next to him, walked up to the man, cracked his skull, jumped into his car, went by one of his black friend's house, that was a deacon, and said, "I've done it now, Charlie, I'm out of here, and took all his money and went out. And what he did is while he was running, trying to get away, he had baptized himself. After he repented, he baptized himself. He pleaded, he wept, he cried. The movie made me cry. I said, oh my God. Then what he did is he went to another state and he swore that he'd never preach and shame Christ because he had killed a man and they were looking for him. But he couldn't stop preaching and he got on a 15-minute radio show in another state. He was preaching, man, people got saved, and another black minister had a church and asked him, well, man, why don't you come on in here with me? Because you're a preacher, what you doing out here alone? He didn't tell anybody about the man that he killed, but he knew that eventually they were going to get him. Mm-hmm. The way the movie ended was that his wife was listening to a shortwave radio and heard her husband preaching and told the police. And while he was preaching, the police came in the little church, and he knew what it was all about, preached a sermon, and just went to him and said, well, my brother, you got me. And then in the last scene, he was in prison on the chain gang, preaching as he was busting rocks because he knew he did wrong. What I learned when I wiped the tears from my eyes, because I had to ask myself this question, was that man saved? What you guys think?
Sounds like he was saved. Although the only thing I would think would be that he would just immediately turn himself in and say, okay, it's time for me to go to jail and preach in jail.
He was scared. Old country boy.
Sure.
Yeah, you know.
But he was on fire, preacher, fire and brimstone, and he went crazy for a second out of just anger of what happened to his life because he was such a hard preacher.
And he had built up the whole ministry. And why I like the movie is because the young dude was trying to take his ministry. So I had an affinity with that.
Okay. Here's another scenario.
Give me one.
I think his name was Brian Nichols. He's the guy that shot up the Atlanta courtroom, killed four people.
Yeah. Yes.
Ended up with the the crack using Christian girl.
Yeah.
Reading Purpose Driven Life together with the
yeah,
and
you would
Smith
pick that.
With
okay.
Smith and then supposedly coming to Christ. So was he a Christian? When the following week he pleaded not guilty, as opposed to I'm in custody, I've repented of my sin, just give me my sentence.
You can't use that because he wasn't doing anything for Christ before all that mess took place.
No, but he supposedly came to Christ, according to Rick Warren, and according to the girl that he went on the book tour with. According to this wonderful book of Purpose-Driven Life transformed this man and took him from an on-the-run criminal to somebody who turned himself in.
The reason that I would have to say no,
but he didn't turn himself in, did he? Or did she turn him in?
She kind of turned him in after she made hotcakes for him.
She made pancakes.
You have to remember the story. She made pancakes for him.
Yeah, after he took a shower, cleaned himself up after whatever.
Yeah, he took a shower. All right.
Whatever happened.
Yes. And so we know he wasn't a Christian.
Okay, but that's my point. My point is, they went on the book tour that shows how powerful God is, that with the Bible and the purpose-driven life and a crack pipe, how God can work through all of that and turn this man into a Christian. But if that was a true, genuine conversion,
right,
then you would have seen this man plead guilty and say, I humbly accept my sentence.
Yes.
God now wants me to minister to people in jail.
Yes.
And I'm happily going to serve my sentence.
Well,
he didn't do that, it proves that the whole thing was a farce.
It was a movie, and the movie couldn't show that happening, because if the movie had shown that happening, then it would have been a Christian film. And so, you know, they're just showing how people, you know, people going to run mm-hmm. when the police come after you. Because often I think about that. If I, in a freakish moment, do something and the police is chasing me, would I run? Would I get in my car and run? You know what? For a moment, you think about it, and then you just say, get out the car, John. Drop the keys, put your hands behind you, and just say, come and get me.
Right.
And take me away without any helicopters flying around.
Yes.
You know, that's what a Christian would do. But here again, the false prophet. Now, let me go back to your Rick Warren example, Bob, because this is what it is. The people believed that woman and the book that she wrote and Rick Warren. Rick Warren is a false prophet. They believed in him hands down because they had never researched what we're looking at.
Let's go. This comes full circle right back to the scripture that Dr. David Reagan wrote and used in his text. And I'll read from my King James here, Acts 20 and 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, unto all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, what is the definition of that grievous wolf and the false prophet?
Right.
Also of yourselves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them, after themselves.
Not after
so,
Christ.
So, this is Rick Warren. He's speaking things.
Yes. Yes.
That a little bit of crack cocaine and a little bit of purpose driven and a little bit of Bible and a little bit of a girl that's not quite clean of her crack cocaine, all of those things put together, jumble them around, and somebody can get saved. And by the way, now we can sell my book and we can sell her book, published all by the same publisher. So this is false prophet right there. You're talking about somebody who's speaking perverse things to draw people after himself rather and to deceive people. And it says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of these years, I ceased not to warn you, every one of you, every night and day with tears.
Yes.
Paul, brokenhearted about such things, warned these people night and day, even to the point of tears, to say, don't follow these people. But we've got a nation
that's following them.
That is following
them. Yeah, the whole nation is following them. The whole nation is following them. That's why when you read the story about the chimpanzee, wait, I don't want to laugh. When you read the story about a chimpanzee tearing off a woman's face, and I just heard the sound clip, it'll be up on my website within 48 hours, of a monkey tearing a woman's face off, and this woman talking about shoot the monkey. Well, now here's the inevitable question. What are you doing with a wild monkey living in your house, sleeping in your bed with diapers on and everything?
Eating cereal at your breakfast table.
Eating cereal. Man, you know what? We've gone totally debauched. We have lost a sense of what humanity is.
And so you did that, and your friend paid the price.
No face.
I mean, it's a tragedy. It's a true tragedy.
It is.
And the thing is when it says that people, that God turns people like that over to their reprobate mind, when they start to worship the creature and not the creator.
Yes.
That's Romans chapter 1. So this is what they did. They started to worship this beast, created thing, rather than glorify God, and they get turned over to a twisted mind, and now the woman's wondering, how is my chimp? More concerned about that than how's her friend.
Peter and John also warned against the danger of false prophets. Peter asserted that false prophets would introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master. You know, that scripture that he uses is 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1.
And I have to crack up at this because Yesterday, I'm driving down the freeway, which obviously I spent a lot of time doing that, and I saw a great bumper sticker that said, "Beware of false prophets preaching change."
Beware of false prophets preaching change. Yep, there it is.
Peter asserted that false prophets would introduce destructive heresies,